Spiritual growth always begins with a healthy root system. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell continues in his series on becoming rooted and grounded in Christ.
The more you read the Bible, the more it directs your life, the more it tells you how to live. You show me a young man who spends 4 and 5 hours a day in Xbox and in all these types of games and television, he will live out what he's putting in. You show me someone who spends time in the Word of God, it will begin to alter their behavior. They will become a performer of the Word of God.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Rooted in the Word.
The Bible is very clear that when we are angry, we're not going to get the benefit of what God is trying to say. We need to be ready to hear what is being said. Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? When I go to the doctor, good night, if you're like me, you have to wait a long time before you even get in. You know what I'm talking about? And you get to watch all kinds of fun people while you're doing that, you know? Little babies and just everything. And when you finally get in there, when I get into the doctor, I want to do one thing. I want to figure out what's going on and how to fix it. And I want to hear what the man is going to say. If he says, go home and stand on your head, I probably would do that too, right? Why do we come to church preoccupied and wanting to negotiate with God? If we can trust a medical doctor, can we not trust the Bible? Can we not come with the Spirit this morning to say, God, speak to me. I want to know what you want me to hear today. A spirit of receptivity. Then there must be a spirit of humility. If your heart is really prepared, there must be a spirit of humility. Now look what it says in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, God says, when you come to this book, I want you to lay aside, and he calls it here, filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And really, he's speaking about immorality of thought and practice. He said, if you think that you can be living like some kind of a whoremonger and thinking and acting with hatred and evil thoughts in your life, and then come and get a blessing from the Bible, it's not gonna happen. You have to lay aside sin. You have to repent of sin and lay it aside in order to let the seed of the Bible get down into your heart. Let me tell you something about having a garden. When you start the garden process, you don't just go out and start throwing seeds. In fact, in our little area where we have a garden, when I started in April, it was filled with weeds, all kinds of weeds. The very first thing I had to do was get a hoe and a rototiller and get those weeds up. I had to remove the weeds so that the seed can go down. And God says, lay aside the filthiness before the seed can come in. You got to lay aside the filthiness. Look, you can't stay up on Saturday night till 2 o'clock watching, blood and gore and sex on TV and then expect to come in here and really get a whole lot out of church. You got to lay aside some stuff out of your mind. You got to clear the mind and prepare the heart to receive what the Word of God is going to tell you. So lay it aside. Then notice what it says there. He says, and receive with, what's the next word say? Meekness, the engrafted word. Receive with meekness, the engrafted word. Again, not a spirit to argue, but a spirit to say, Lord, speak to my heart. I want to receive. Now notice that word, engrafted word. Engrafted means implanted. And you will never properly root until you are properly planted. Philip said the word engrafted signifies something sown, something rooted, or something implanted. Like the church at Berea, they were more noble because they received the word of God. And God says, I want my word not to just lay around you, I want it to get in you. I want it to be engrafted into you, like two plants are grafted together, like a tree is planted in the ground. I want my word to get into your life and make a difference. So we've got to prepare to receive the word of God. We've got to really prepare. Now, folks, listen to me. It doesn't matter how much I study or how much I pray or how much I preach to you. If you don't come into this church ready to get it, it's never going to happen. God says, I want you to have a spirit of receptivity. I want you to lay aside the junk that's been in your heart, and I want you to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Prepare to receive. Secondly, you've got to plan to obey. You've got to plan to obey. Don't come in here to negotiate with God. Come in here ready to obey God. Now look what it says in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, right? Ready, begin. Let's say that verse together. Ready, begin. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, first of all, God wants us to hear the word. He says, yes, I want you to hear it. I want you to hear what my message says. We must be hearing the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So the Bible says there will come a time, and I believe that time has come in America, where people don't want sound doctrine. They want some teachers that make them feel good, that entertain them, but they don't want to really hear what the Bible says. God says you've got to be ready to hear it. Jesus said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So we've got to plan to hear what God's word says. And let me just say something. Moms and dads, we need to hear what the Bible says. We need to hear what God's word says. We need to keep growing no matter how old we are. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been preaching this precious book since 1982. I've been preaching the word. I've been studying the word. I've read it through many times. I've been to Bible college. I have a master's degree in biblical studies. I've worked at it. But I got to tell you something. I'm still in kindergarten when it comes to this book because it's an eternal heavenly book. And every time I read it, I see something new. And I'm just telling you, I've got to hear it myself. Last week, I was in a church where one of our West Coast Baptist graduates is the pastor. And as I listened to him teach Sunday school, I didn't sit there thinking, well, you know, he's a young kid and, you know, critiquing him. I sat there with one goal in mind. Lord, speak to my heart. I want to hear what you have to say to me today. I need to hear it. Moms and dads need to hear it. Let me tell you something. Our children need to hear it. Children need to hear the word of God. Oh, how we got to get it into their hearts. Listen, if all they are doing is playing Xbox and all these games and all these games and all this television, you know what they're going to act out. You know how it's going to affect their lives. You know how they're going to live. I believe with all of my heart that children can understand the Bible and that the Bible will make a difference in their life. And we've got to get the Bible. I used to, when I was a young dad, years ago, hear pastors and evangelists come and they'd say, dads, you need to read the Bible to your children and have a family altar. And I'll be honest with you, right when our kids were first born, I had devotions, but I wasn't really reading the Bible to my kids. And I'll be honest with you, when a particular evangelist was really driving that point home, I was kind of getting mad at him. Like the Bible says, putting aside anger, I was kind of like, hey, I liked your first part of your message, but now you're meddling. Move on to something else. Right? And he's kind of preaching on, you dads need to read the word of God to your children. And I wasn't doing it. And our children were kind of young, and I was kind of rationalizing. They don't understand it anyways. But you know what was really going on? Sometimes when you get mad at a preacher or mad at the Bible, you know what's really going on? You are under conviction. Because you know what is being said is true. And I was getting under conviction. And I had to come to my wife and say, honey, I haven't really been reading the word to our children. I haven't been really making that central in our home. And we made some alterations and some adjustments, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. These past few weeks I've had some time and opportunity to read and study some of the life of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, probably the greatest Baptist preacher, probably the most oft quoted preacher in all of history. He has more sermons published than in any other book, probably other than the Bible. And I've enjoyed reading and studying about Spurgeon's lineage. Some of you know that our Baptist heritage, much of it can be traced to the Netherlands and up in the Dutch country. And the Roman Catholics during the Dark Ages sent armies of crusaders up into that country. And these people who were baptizing after salvation, they took their lives by the tens of thousands during these Dark Ages. Baptists were essentially murdered, and there was a great purging attempt. The Spurgeons, Charles Spurgeon's great-great-great-grandfather, was of that lineage, and they left the Netherlands. Many of them came to America, and many came to England. And Charles Spurgeon's family came to England seeking some freedom, seeking the freedom to worship. And when they came, they began to spread their faith, and most of that began in the homes of these Puritan-type people. And Spurgeon wrote, "We were accustomed to bring up the babies on the body of truth, so that a child of 12 in a Puritan home could talk with intelligent skill on central New Testament doctrines." Now, I'm telling you, many Christian teenagers today could not tell you the Ten Commandments or the Four Gospels, but a 12-year-old Puritan child could discuss the theological tenets of their faith. Spurgeon said the Puritans reared their children in an atmosphere of fiery convictions. They knew from babyhood the writings which were able to make them wise unto salvation. Spurgeon said, "Schoolmasters are well enough, but godly fathers are both by order of nature and grace the best instructors of their sons, nor can they delegate the sacred duty. When fathers are tongue-tied religiously, they wonder if their children's hearts remain sin-tied." Think about that. Dads, if we don't talk about the Lord, if we are tongue-tied biblically, our children will be sin-tied. And you show me a young man who does not have a father teaching him what the Word of God says. And unless someone intervenes in his life, many times he goes off in a direction that is against God, because he's not given the teaching of the Word of God. We need to hear what the Bible says. But not only do we need to hear it, notice secondly, we need to obey what the Bible says. Now look at that verse again, verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Be ye doers of the word. If you're taking notes, the word doers is an interesting word. It is the word poietes, which means performer of, a performer of. God says, "I want you to be a performer." Now listen very carefully. The Bible then is to be the script for your life. The more you read the Bible, the more it directs your life, the more it tells you how to live. You read it and then you live it out. You perform out what the Word of God says. You show me a young man who spends 4 and 5 hours a day in Xbox and in all these types of games and television, he will live out what he's putting in. You show me someone who spends time in the Word of God, it will begin to alter their behavior. They will become a performer of the Word of God, you see. And if a man does not do that, he's deceiving himself. Verse 22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So when we come to the Bible, we need first of all to be prepared to receive. Lord, I'm here to listen to what you have to say. Secondly, we need to plan to obey. It's not about whether we're going to debate it. It's about we're going to obey what God's word says. Notice thirdly this morning, then we must persist in our study. We must be persistent in our study. Now notice verse 23, if you will. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his face in a natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now God says, I want you, first of all, to remember the word. I don't want you to come to church and then just kind of go on your merry way. I believe you ought to take these notes we give you and read them tomorrow. Take some time. Really get grounded in what's being taught. God says, I don't want you to look in the mirror and then go off your merry way and do nothing with it. And so he says here in verse number 24, he says, you got to behold yourself, but then don't forget what manner of man you were. So the Bible is like a mirror. And God says, I want you to look. And the word means to look and to perceive what you see. In Bible days, the mirrors were probably polished brass, very shiny brass. And someone would look into the brass, and sometimes they had to look at a few different angles to see what needed to be changed. And God said, I want you to look into the mirror, and then I want you to make the adjustments that need to be made. You know, most of you did that this morning. You know, most of you looked into a mirror this morning, and you knew before you looked at the mirror, there was some hair, those of you that have it, you know, there was some hair that had to be adjusted, there were some whiskers maybe that needed to be shaved. Now, I know how guys are. Sometimes, you know, we'll walk by, middle of the day, dirty t-shirt, belly hanging out, we'll look in the mirror, we'll go, hey, looking pretty good, man. I know, okay? But normal people, when they look in the mirror, normally, it's with the idea of what needs to be changed, right? And when you look in the mirror, you'd be a fool to get up in the morning and see all kinds of particles hanging off your face and your hair going everywhere and look at that and say, good, I'll go to work this way. You know, you're not going to do that. You're going to change. God says, don't look at my word and try to convince yourself that it's all good. Don't come to this church, young men, and act like you're living for God when you're not. Don't come to this church, married men, and act like it's all good when God says, hey, I want you to change some stuff. You need to repent of some sin. It's not all good when there's sin in our life. Don't be a forgetful hearer, he says. There was an old mountain man in Tennessee, and this fella heard about some people camping not far from his property. So he went down to investigate, and he saw their sleeping bags and their tents and everything. And on the ground was a mirror, and he picked it up. He'd never seen one of these things before. He looked at that and looked at that. Finally, he said, you know, I never knew Pappy had a picture made of himself. And he took that mirror, and he went home, and he hid it under the bed. One day, his wife found it. She pulled it out. She looked and looked at that thing. Finally, she said, so that's the old hag he's been running around with. Now, when you see a mirror, what you're seeing is a reflection of yourself. The Bible is going to give you a good picture of where you are and where you need to go. That's why a lot of people stop coming to church. They would rather convince themselves that it's all good, and the Bible will show them there are some needs for adjustment. We've got to remember the word. Secondly, we've got to continue in the word. Take time this week, tomorrow morning, open the Bible, spend time with God. Verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, notice this next phrase, and continueth therein. Now God says, whoever looketh, the word looketh implies studying it, reading it, and spending time in it. I remember probably 24 years ago, I was out knocking on doors, inviting people to church. And I knocked on a door. The door was open, but the screen door was there. And as I knocked on that door, I said, hello, my name's Paul Chappell. I'm the pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church. We're just telling people about the church and telling people about the Lord. And there was an old gentleman sitting inside. He said, hey, come on in here. And I went in, and he was seated in a recliner chair, and he had blankets over his legs. And his name was Mr. Peters. Mr. Peters had a very unique and rare disease called myasthenia gravis. He actually had 4 kidneys. And as he was laying in that chair, he told me about his disease, and then he began telling me about his testimony. He was saved in Arkansas, baptized in a river in Arkansas, And he was a Bible believer. He was an old-fashioned Bible believer. And he said, you know, I want to ask you a few questions. He said, if you're going to be a preacher in this community, and if you want me to come to your church, here's what I want to know. He said, I want to know, do you believe the Bible's the infallible word of God? I said, yes, sir. He said, I want to know, do you believe there's a literal heaven and a literal hell? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, will you give an altar call after you preach the gospel and invite people to repent and receive Jesus? I said, yes, I will. He said, will you preach from the King James Bible? He said, I don't want to be a part of a church and give money to a church if they're not standing true on these kinds of things. And I passed his test. And Mr. Peters, he had me come over by his chair, and he began to share some scriptures with me. And as I looked at his Bible, almost every verse was underlined. There were notes. There were tattered pages. The man had lived in the Bible. He had continued in the Bible. When I preached his funeral service a few years ago, his daughter said, I want you to have Daddy's Bible. I'm holding it in my hand right now. And I opened this well-worn Bible, this Bible that had note after note after note, stain after stain, from where a man had pored over the Word of God, either with tears or sweat, spending time in the Word of God, writing out notes for his Bible study. And I'm telling you that I was able to stand and tell his family, your daddy, your granddaddy was a godly man. He didn't just start with God. He finished with God. And someday, if the Lord tarries in his coming, someone will stand and preside over my casket or your casket. And may they say to the glory of God, you were a man of the book. You were a lady of the book. You continued in the book. You believed the Bible. You loved the author of the Bible, and you spent time in the Word of God. Oh, you see, we're to study the Word. And when you do, you'll find freedom there. It's the perfect law of liberty. The Bible is not bondage. Listen to me. The devil will put you in bondage. People say, oh, church, you know, they have so many rules. It's so hard. I just can't handle it. Let me tell you something. God is not a hard taskmaster. The devil's a hard taskmaster. It's the perfect law of liberty. And then notice finally, when you come to this word and stay with it, you will be blessed. Look at what it says, verse 25. But a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Joshua said, when you meditate in the Bible, then God will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. And for the Christian, there's no success like Bible success. You say, well, that guy has all kinds of possessions and money, and he looks so successful. My friend, there's no success for the child of God apart from the Word of God. But when you continue, that's God's definition of success. Now, before we close this morning, I want you to see one phrase that I did not skip over. I want to come back to it in verse 21. Notice what it says. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Say the rest with me, please. Which is able to save your souls. Please understand something before we close. You are not just flesh and bone. You are a living soul created by God. Your soul will spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. God says there is a way that your soul can be saved. And that way is found in the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible has a message that will save your soul. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And the word of God tells us that we are all sinners. And the word of God tells us that Jesus died for our sin. And the word of God tells us that whosoever believeth on Jesus can have everlasting life. This message, this book can save your soul. Listen, this church cannot save your soul. Our baptistry cannot save your soul. But Jesus can save your soul. And that's the message of this book. And I want to ask you something. Are you saved? Are you saved? I didn't ask you if your granddaddy was a Baptist preacher. I didn't ask you if you're a good guy. I didn't ask you if you were nice to the cat this morning or you gave to the March of Dimes. I'm asking you, are you saved?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748.
As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest resource entitled Continue, A Biblical Journey in Personal Discipleship. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. Continue is perfect for helping someone you love become rooted and grounded in God's Word. Each lesson includes a straightforward outline with support scriptures and is written so anyone can easily teach. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.